Good morning. Today's daf is daf Tzadi Gimel. So let's take it six lines down or so. Seven lines down where the Gemara says, B'mai Kimithagi. The Gemara, yes, I've been talking about three different opinions about whether or not a person's chai or pater with shnaim shasu, two people who perform in the malacha. And the Gemara had three different scenarios of where each one were able to do it on their own and they did it together, or where each one were not able to do it on their own and they did it together, or where one was yachal, the other one was ain't a yachal. So we had three different scenarios, and there's a three-way machlokas between Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi Shimon. So without reviewing those opinions, let's just go through what the nature of the machlokas was, and the Gemara then will review what each position is through the learning of the psukim. So again, take it around seven lines down where the Gemara says, B'mai kemithlagi, in the middle of the line. So what was the nekudas hamachlokas? So the Gemara says, B'haikra, they're arguing about this particular pasuk. It says in the pasuk, V'im nefesh achas techata, b'shkaga me'am ha'aretz ba'asosa. That's the pasuk. If a person sins accidentally in his performance of an avera, and the pasuk goes on to say, achas mi mitzos Hashem, one of the mitzos of Hashem asher lo se'asenu, that one should not be doing. So Rabbi Shimon first explains as follows. Rabbi Shimon Savar, Tlasa miute ksive. There are three different miutim here, psukim that are excluding, which are as follows. Nefesh techta, that's one. It says nefesh opposed to nefasha, so only if a yachid performs the avera. Achas techta, it says ivim nefesh, achas techta. What's nefesh and achas? Both the word nefesh and achas seem to be superfluous, and those are two different drashas, one from nefesh, one from achas. And then, basoso techta, when he performs it, that's another word of yachid. So the word, the singular yachid, is implied three times in the pasuk, from the word nefesh, from the word achas, and from the word basoso. So based on these three miutim, Rabbi Shimon darshins that chal mute, one is excluding a case of ze'oker v'zemeniach, one guy does the akira, one guy does the anacha, that case is pater. The chal mute, one pasuk is excluding sheze yachol v'ze yachol, where both of them are able to do it on their own, yet they do it together, that's shnaim she'asu pater. And then, the chalamute, the third case, is a scenario of ze'en yachal, v'ze'en yachal, where both parties could not do it on their own. When they do it together, even though they couldn't do it without the other person, still, in the end of the day, it was two people doing it as opposed to one person doing it. And in all three cases, Rabbi Shimon says, pater. That's Rabbi Shimon's understanding. Comes along Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Huda rather. Rabbi Huda says no. Rabbi Huda says, He says chal mute ze okiv ze meniach. So one guy does akir, one guy does anacha. That's pater by hotza. The chal mute, one is excluding a case of ze yachol ze yachol, where each one individually could have performed the malacha, yet they did together. He agrees shnaim shehasu pater. But the third miut, he learns differently. He agrees that there are three miutim, but he doesn't agree to the psak of Rabbi Shimon that ze en yachol ze en yachol, if they do together pater. He thinks in that case it's actually chayiv. If it's a case of Zayin Yachal, the Zayin Yachal, they can't do it independently. They can only do it together, and when they do it in tandem, they'd be chayv. So what does he learn from the third pasuk? A completely different topic, but he learns that the Chalamute Yachid Shasa Boras Bezdin, individual who performs based on a Psaka Bezdin, this is a reference to Parhelm Davar Shaltzibor of the Meseches Horios. Rashi points out here, Yachid Shasa Boras Bezdin, Horu Bezdin Shechel Mutter. If they paskin Chel was Mutter, that was incorrect, but they gave such a psak. The Halacha Yachid Vas Alpiyim Donasu. He was a very good Talmud. He listened to the Rebbeim, and the Rebbeim were incorrect. Nonetheless, he did it, because even this, he did it. He's popped from bring a carbon. He's honest. Why is he honest? Because he listens to the Chacham, he listens to the Bezin, and that's what we're saying. If the Yachid did a Avera, he's actually Pater. When is he Pater? If he depended on the Psak of the Hara, a Bezin, he's Pater in that case. That's not a classic case of a Yachid violating an Avera. Fine. So that's the understanding of the Pasuk according to Rabbi Yehuda. And then comes along Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, Miksiv, does it say in the Pasuk, Nefesh Techta, Achas Techta, Basosa Techta? Does it repeat the Pasuk Techta three times? If it repeated the Pasuk, the word Techta each time, it would indicate each one was a separate drasha. If it said Nefesh Techta, one drasha. Achas Techta, a second drasha. And Basosa Techta, a third drasha, that would have been true. But in the end of the day, Rabbi Meir says, that doesn't say that. So he disagrees with both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon that there are not three. There are not three drashas to be made here. Rather, he says there are only trei miuta ksiva, only two, which is from the words nefesh achas and from the word basosa. He doesn't think that nefesh achas are two different drashas. That's really one drasha. And now that he's narrowed down to only two drushas, he explains that one is chalamut ze okev ze meniach. This, everyone agrees to this drusha, that if one guy does the akira, the other one does the anacha, pater. The chalamut they wanted is to exclude the case of a yachid shasab haras bezdin. He's pater just like Rabbi Huda, and therefore Rabbi Meir holds that all instances, whether it's a case of ze yachal, and they do it together, here chayv, or if even it's a case of ze any yachal, zen yachal, that too, they're both chayv. In both scenarios, shnaim shasu are chayv according to the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Now there is an interesting discussion amongst the Rishonim whether or not this concept of Shnaim Shasu by the Melacha here, whether or not, what would the din be by Muksa? Let's say two people carried Muksa, would that be Mutter, would that be Aser? Just like Muksa, you're allowed to move sometimes Klach HaYad with a Shinoi, perhaps a Eitza to moving Muksa should be Shnaim Shasu. Because Shnaim Shasu by Melacha is Pater, so Melacha Derais is Pater, so perhaps Shnaim Shasu by Tiltil by Muksa, which should only be their button, perhaps that should be Pater. So the Eish Avram Bibachach explains that this question of whether or not Shnaim Shasu applies to Muksa and can be moved L'chachil or not, really depends on the Machlokas we've shown him about whether or not really Rabbi Kivi Eger, he thinks Machlokas we've shown him, about Shnaim Shasu Pater, what does that mean that he's Pater? According to some understand, Rabbi Kivi Eger asks the question, when it says you're Pater, it means you're Pater from a carbon, but there still is an Iser Midaraisa, or no, maybe Shnaim Shasu is Pater Legamre, not only you're Pater from a carbon, but you're Pater even on a Daraisa level, it's only an Iser Midarabanan that they invoked. So they learn from based on the Ritva without getting involved in it too much, but the Ritva seems to imply that the fact that he connects it, he says Shnaim Shasu should apply to Shechita as well. Two people doing a Shechita by regular Shechita during the week, he thinks it should be the same din. Based on this, they think that Shnaim Shasu is Pate Lagamre, Bain Karbam, Bain Balav, it's as if no Maisa was done. Therefore, according to those understandings, so only by Melacha, the Raisa, did they say Shnaim Shasu, although it's Pater, it's Asim Midirbanan, but if it applies to Muksa, which Muksa is only an Isim Midirbanan in the first place, says the Eish Avraham Bibachach, it should be completely Mutter. But if you assume that Shnaim Shasu by Melacha of Shabbos the Raisa is only Pater from a carbon, but there still is an Isser Daraisa at play, and perhaps even Malkos, according to one Sad and Rabbi Kivi Eger. So then when you drop it down to Tiltum Midrabanan, so perhaps there's not going to be any Malkos, but there still will be an Isser Midrabanan. So he says this question of Shnaim Shasu applying to Muksa would depend on the nature of the Ptur of Shnaim Shasu in general. Fight you in the Gemara now. The Gemara says as follows. Amar Mar. We had said that if one person is able to, Reuven's able to do the melacha, and Shimon's not able to do the melacha, and they do it together, everyone says you're chayv. One of them's chayv. So which one's chayv? Hey, menu chayv. Which of the two are chayv? So the Gemara explains that Amar Rav Chista ze sheyachol, the one who's able to do it, he could have done it on his own. Yeah, he does it with another guy. He's the one chayv. If the guy who's incapable of doing on his own, my covenant, what did he accomplish? He didn't help me out. I'm a strong guy. Reuven's a strong guy. So Shmuel comes along, gives a hand. Shmuel was unnecessary. He was completely useless. Reuven didn't need Shimon's help. So what did Shimon participate in the act? It was all done by Reuven. Whether Shimon was there or not, that Reuven would have done it. So therefore, Reuven's chayv. So Amalei Rav Hamnuna. Rav Hamnuna says, the Kamasai, what do you mean? Shimon helped him out a little bit, though. He gave a little extra boost. He didn't need it, but it still helped out. He lightened the weight. Amalei, Messiah ain b'mayish, mamish. One who helps, there's no mashes to it, and therefore we don't acknowledge Shimon's involvement at all. It's as if he wasn't there. As Rashi says here, ain b'mamish, misheino ela Messiah b'davar, one who simply assists in something, vimbala soso levado, and wants to do this by himself, ain yachol, he couldn't do it on his own, ain b'mamish. That guy is considered as if he did nothing, v'lo chashamide, it's not considered anything, v'lo miftar idach, and he doesn't exempt the other guy. Reuven, whether Shimon was helping Reuven or not, Reuven would have done it, and Reuven is chayv, whether with Shimon being there or even without Shimon being there. Messiah ain b'mamish. Now the Gemara is going to bring a number of different rayas really legabe hilchos tumah v'tara, we see this concept of messiah emamamish, when a person assists in something out, it's really worthless and we don't consider it anything. So just the number of halacha ma'aseh examples that come up. One interesting thing that comes up with respect to marriage, in Maseches Kedushin talks about how men have a mitzvah, women don't have a mitzvah. So there's a Ran there that says that women are involved in the mitzvah peruvu because they're misayeh bedavar. So we see by mitzvah, sometimes misayeh bedavar can be something that's considered. The Ran does acknowledge their involvement of the mitzvah Kedushin peruvu as something, of course, essential. And even though, halachically, their action is not considered a maisa ba'alma, but they're certainly a necessary part a pervu, it's what he calls a messiah bedavar. So you have to see how messiah bedavar, how it weighs in various arenas. So one interesting area comes up is the following. There is a discussion about I should first mention, by the way, I'm sorry, that messiah bedavar, that the Tosfos here on the side, the Dimaschal Amar Rav, I'm not going to go through it, he says, mamish, the mamish is completely, is mutter, not even isim midrabanan, if a person is being messiah bedavar. But there's a Rambam who says that a person who's a Messiah B'davar, he's not Chayiv. Now Chayiv sounds like he's not Chayiv Achatas, but it implies, the Kesem Mishnah says, it implies that there's an Isser Midrabanan. So there is a Machlokas whether or not Messiah B'davar is Mamish as if it's not there at all, it's just not an Isser D'Raisa, but there's an Isser Midrabanan. So one place it comes up is that there is a din brought down by the Beis Yosef, the Ramah, that when it comes to holding a cup for kosher bracha, you're supposed to use your right hand and not have a left hand help out. So he says it's only true, the Ramah points out, only true if the left hand is holding the becher along with the right hand. But let's say the left hand is underneath the right hand, giving extra strength to the right hand, that's not a violation of the left hand helping hold the becher, because it's only misayeh b'davar, and misayeh ein b'mamish, there's no mamashes to it. So this is another area where we say misayeh ein b'mamish. It comes up also in terms of isurim. There's another Ramah in Hilchos Shabbos that talks about if a Jew, let's say, has a toothache, he can ask a goy to take out his tooth from on Shabbos if he's terribly in pain. And it's no different than what the Gemara in Beitza clearly states, that if you need to have some type of medicine placed on the outside of your eye, it's called enov, to put some type of eye a shadow, which is some type of medicinal effects. So you can have a goy do this. So just like a goy could put some of the cream on the outside of the eye, so he can remove the tooth. But the Tanna says there's a big difference. The big difference is because the question is, what type of misayeh bedavar? When a person closes eyes, closing the eyes is a natural position, eyes closed. So he's not doing anything. But for the guy's mouth, a person's normal position of his mouth is that the mouth is closed. Now the patient would have to open up his mouth to allow the goy to take out his tooth, and therefore, since you have to open up your mouth, you're being involved more, and that would be misayeh bedavar. Even though misayeh bedavar ain't b'mamish, there still is an iser midrabanan at play. So while you could allow the goy to put something on the outside of the eye, because the eyes are naturally closed, to open your mouth, that would be misayeh bedavar. That's what the Taz's understanding is. And he brings a proof from the case of makif and nikif. What's makif and nikif? That we know there's an iser d'raisa, a person can't cut his peyos. So, but not only is it also to be makif, to cut someone else's payas, but to have your payas cut, to be nikaf, to be passive, is asr as well. Why is it asr? Because the Gemara explains that you tilt your head, you're messiah b'davar. So just like messiah b'davar, you tilt your head to get your payas cut off and you get an isr, so too by opening your mouth to allow the guard to extract your tooth would also be messiah b'davar. But the Shach responds back and says, no, only by nikaf, where the Torah itself says it isr d'raisa, is that acknowledged as a messiah b'davar. But when it comes to opening mouth and other things that have not been declared in Isser from the Torah perspective, we say that Messiah ain't b'mamish, and therefore the Shach thinks that the Ramah is correct, that one can open his mouth up in order to have the goy extract his tooth. Okay, let's go weiter now. The Gemara says, so after just showing that Messiah ain't b'mamish, the Gemara now goes on to bring proof from Tumah V'Tahara. The Gemara says, Amar v'zvid mishmei d'Rava. Af ananami tanina, we also learn in the Mishnah, haya yoshev agabe amita, v'arba talisos tachas ragle amita. So let's say a zav is sitting on a bed, and he, underneath each of the legs, there are four talisos, that he's going to be matamek, because when a zav sits on a bed, sits and puts his body weight on, most of the body weight, Rashi points out, on a beged, that beged becomes tamek. So now each leg of the bed has a talis underneath it. So the din is that tachat raglamita mitmeas, all four talesos are tamei mipnei she'ein yachal lamod al shalosh, because we know a bed can't stand with out three legs. So here they're talesim underneath the leg. Each leg is significant, and therefore his body weight is considered as if it's on each of them. If you just take a look at Rashi to see how Rashi presents this, Rashi says, "Sheino yichol lamod al shalosh." It could not stand; the bed couldn't stand up on three legs only. V'chaven dezeh einu yachol, v'zeh einu yachol. Since each one on its own couldn't hold up the bed, so kol echad v'echad kula ma'isa avid. Each one is considered as if they're doing the entire ma'isa. V'gavi midras hazav with respect to the sitting down of the hazav, but you know, sheinase rubo alav. You need most of the weight on top of each leg. So since each leg is essential, it's as if each leg is doing the entire ma'isa and holding the hazav, and therefore all four talesos are tamei. But then the Mishnah quotes from Rabbi Shimon Matar. Rabbi Shimon says, Tahor in this case. Why? Because this is a Rabbi Shimon Lashitas, so as Rashi explains here, the Mipnei Sheyachol, is that one we wanted? No, because Rabbi Shimon is the one who holds that since each one is not able to do it on their own, each one's only being Misayeh Bedavar, he holds being Misayeh Bedavar is going to be Pater like we saw earlier. Then the Mishnah says further, Haya rochev agabi behema, person's riding on an animal, varba talesos tachas ragle behema, each leg has another talus, there's a four talesos, one on the each leg. They're all tahoros, even according to the Tanakhama. Why? Bipnei shechol lamod al shalosh, because an animal could stand on three legs. It could lift up a right leg, a left leg, a front, a back, whatever it is, they could stand on three legs just fine. So we see that they're not supported, not each one is supporting entirely. So the Gemara says, why is that the case? V'amai. Hok mesai b'hadeh hadadi. Isn't the fourth leg at least giving some added support? So we must be that misayeh la mishum daminan misayeh ema mamish. Even though it's adding some support, if it's not necessary, it's only misayeh and misayeh ema mamish, and therefore the tumah does not transmit to all four legs. So the Gemara says, further, Amar of Yehuda, midis karta, liyom emelcha shimesayeh yeshva mamish. Maybe really we can suggest that misayeh does have some effect. There's some, when there's something helping out, it does assist. V'shani hacha here, da'akre le'legame here, when you the animal walks, one leg is completely off the ground. Meaning as opposed to, let's say, two guys carrying a trunk, let's say. So even though Reuven doesn't need Shimon, but Lamaisa, Shimon's helping Reuven. At the same time, they're helping each other. But by the animal walking, there's always going to be at least one leg that's completely off the ground and it's not being Messiah at that very moment, and therefore it's not even Messiah Bedavar. So the Gemara says, V'kevan d'zimran akra, v'hazimran akraha. But the Gemara says, wait a second. Even though, you're right, there are given times where one leg is completely uprooted and not helping out, but still, v'kevan d'zimran akraha, v'zimran akraha. But sometimes the animal is going to rest on these three legs and other times on these three legs, so you're not sure which of the legs it's leaning on, so all four should be tamei. Leve kizav mesapech, you should say, like a zav mesapech, a zav who's kind of flipping around, he's lying on different beds or benches, and he turned over, and the din is, milotan, do we not have a Mishnah that tells us that zav shaya mutal achamesh safsalam, he's lying across five benches, or achamesh pundals, five types of like money wallets of some sort. L'orkin, if he's going according to the length, which means that the length of the bench, and he's lying down the length from head to toe, the one end of the bench to the other end of the bench, Tameim, they're all going to become Tameim because he's going across each one independently and his entire weight is on each one. So he's first on bench one, then he's on bench two. So since it has all of his weight or most of his weight, they're each Tameim. But the Racham, if he's going across the perpendicular to each one of them and his weight is going to be evenly distributed on each of the benches, so we're not really sure the Torah because no one bench is holding most of his weight. Let's say there are five benches and he's going across the perpendicular direction of the bench, so each bench is only supporting a fifth of his weight, that's each one is going to be tower in that case. Let's say that's all if he's just lying down. But let's say yashin, let's say he's sleeping. So if he's yashin, he's sleeping, so safek mishapek chalem, we're not sure if he flipped around this way, the lengthwise, the widthwise, unclear. Tamei, we say, since it's a safek, we say that it's tamei. So here as well, if it's the case of the animals, that if there are four animals, so we're not sure which four legs of the animal, we're not sure which one the animal pressed on the talus, so that should be a case of a safek tuma, and safek tuma we say is tamei. That really depends on whether it's rishis yachin, rishis rabim, that's not for now, but we see based on this zav, that when it comes to zav, a safek zav, where he sat on, it should be tamei. Here as well, the zav is on top of the animal, and we're not sure if which of the four legs that he was leaning on, that the animal was leaning on, therefore it should be tamei. And therefore, why do we say not? It must be not because of a safek, rather elav mishum daminan misayeh ein b'mamish. Since each leg is only helping a little bit, they're not even necessary, it's only misayeh, And Misaya Eimba Mamish, that's why the Tumah does not transmit itself to all four Talesos. The Gemara now says, last two lines of Tzadi Gimel Amun Aleph here, that Amar Rav Papi, Mishmei Dirava, Af Ananami Tanina, we also learn a Mishnah. We're going to give a few different rayas of this concept of Misaya Eimba Mamish. So it says in the very top of Amun Beis now, that Rabbi Yossi, Omer Hasus Mitamei Al Yadava, Bachomer Al Raglav, that a horse is able to mitamei on its front legs, hands, its front legs, it leans more in the front, and the donkey, Al Raglav, on its back legs, the hind legs, Shemishaynes Hasus Al Yadava, a horse leans forward on a Yadava, Bachomer Al Raglav, and the donkey leans on its back legs. So we see only the front legs for the sus and the back legs of the chamer. That's where the weight of the animal, the weight of the zav goes. So the Rashi points out here, hasus matami biyadav im hazav rochiv alav. The zav is on top of a horse. V'talas tachas achas miyadav shal sus tumeya. About tachas raglav, if there's a talas below the hind legs, so then the back legs are tara. Shein mishanto al raglav. It doesn't lean its weight on its back leg. That Mishnah above that spoke about all four legs, that's not like this Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi depends on which legs the animals use for the most part. So this is different than the Mishnah previous to this. Either way, so the Gemara asks the question three lines down. Vamai, why are only the front legs or the back legs depending on the animal tamei? Why don't we say all four legs are tamei? Vamai, hakum misai b'hadei hadadei. Don't we say all four legs help in moving and carrying the zav? Must be la mishum damrina misaya eimba mamish. The legs that only support, that are only misaya, have no mamish. So for horses, for example, where the two front legs are what gives the strength, and that's where the horse leans on, those are the ones carrying, and the back legs are simply there to be misaya bedavar and misaya eimbo mamish. Says the Gemara further, Amar Vashi Af Ananami Tanina, we also learn in the Mishnah that appears in the Sechas Vachem, it says, this is the Gabe, a Kohen who's standing on the Ritzbah, on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash, so a Kohen can't have any Chatzitza between his feet and the ground, he goes barefoot. So there the Mishnah describes that Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Raglo Achas Ala Kli, if let's say one of the legs of the Kohen is on top of a Kli, a vessel, Raglo Achas Al Ritzbah, and one regal is on the ground like it's supposed to, or Ragla Achas al Evan, one's on a rock, a stone. Ragla Achas al Ritzba, and the other foot is on the Ritzba. So, Rowan, we observe, Kol She'ilu Yinatel HaKli V'tinatel HaEvan. If you were to take the Kli away, if you were to take the rock away, Yachal Amula Ragla Achas, would he be able to still stand straight on the other foot that's on the Ritzba? If he would be able to, meaning that the Kli and the Evan are not really supporting him, it's only Misay Badavar, so then Avodah Sakshayr, the Avodah is considered kosher. Vimlav, if he's not able to, if he's going to topple over if you remove the Kli, if you remove the Eben, then Avodah Sapsula, it's possible. So Gemara says, Vamai, Hakim Messiah Bahadur Adadi, even if he would be able to stand up on the one foot and he remove the Kli, isn't it still be Messiah Badavar, and shouldn't that still be a Chatzitza? La Mishum, Damina Messiah, Ema Mamish, it must be, because being Messiah Badavar is not considered significant. And Ein Bo Mamish, just like we said by Hilchos Shabbos, we said this by Hilchos Tumah, we're also saying this by Hilchos Chatzitza and the Avodas Beis HaMikdash. What's the whole idea of not having Chatzitza? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says three lines down from the top here, the last word in the two dots, it says, Kohen Ha'omin Agabe Kele Kli O Evan O Shum Davar Hachotis Beino Levein HaRitz. But if he's standing on something that serves as a hefsik, a Chatzitza between his feet and the ground, V'avod Avodah Sapsula, the Avodah is possible. Why? He should stand properly serving Hashem like all other Levim. So it's based on the way a person serves Hashem. It's a proper way, a proper cover. Now, the Brisker Rav points out that there seems to be a machlokas in the reasonings brought by Rashi here and Tosefta in the Zvachim, in Menachos rather, the reasoning. According to Rashi, the emphasis is in the way how one stands during the Avoda, based on the Amida, the standing. The Brisker Rav points out from the Tosefta, it seems the reason being because there can't be a chatzitza on the Ritzvah. So is it a question of a chatzitza, or is it a question of Amida? And that's a difference. I'm not sure what the Nafkamina is. There could be the Brisker Rav discusses the Nafkamina, but certainly conceptually there's a difference of a proper Amida or there being a chatzitza. In theory, you have a situation where a person could be hanging, let's say, hanging above, and there's no chatzitza, but he's not doing a proper amida. That might be a case. The Gemara does talk about situations where he's able to hang somehow, hover in the Beis HaMikdash without actually being on the ground. So that might be an area to look at for a possible nafkamina. The Gemara now says a further one last raya of Misaya Bedavar. Amar Ravina. Ravina says, Afan Onami Tanina. We also learn in the Mishnah that this is a Mishnah also in, it's actually Tosefta in Zvachim, talking about the one of the four avodos we know in the Beis Hamikdash. There's Shechita, there's a Kabbalah, there's Halacha, and there's Zrika. So one of them is Kabbalah, to be Makabel. You have to be Makabel with your right hand. Left hand is possible for all the avodos. The only exception is Yom HaKippurim, when the Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh Kedashim with Kafu Machte. He needs to hold the Kafu Machte, he needs to use the right hand and the left hand. That's the only place we find the left hand is able to do an avoda. But outside of that, it's always possible. So Kiba B'yamim, with small, let's say he accepts, he's Makabel the blood with the Kli using both his right hand and his left hand, the small is masayato, the small is helping, it's assisting the right hand, avodah sakshev, it's acceptable. V'hamai, why? Hakim isayi b'hadar hadadi, isn't the left hand adding on, isn't that being maseva davar? Is it la mishum darmin and messiah aimbo mamish, shmamina, must be that aimbo mamish, left hand is aimbo mamish. Fine. The Gemara now says, goes to a bit of a different connected topic. Before doing so, I wanted to just share one last piece about Misaya Bedavar, that the Chida had an interesting shaila about the particular Moel. He was a Moel, and he came to his son's bris. And the din is, if a father knows how to do the milah, he should not appoint a shliach. Really, the mitzvah is on the father to do Avi Ben to do the milah. We don't know what we're doing, so we appoint the shliach as a Moel. But if the father himself is the Moel, he must do the milah. So that's a first din is brought down by the Rush, and there's a Katzos, and there's a Ramah about this topic. But let's say this situation that he discusses, let's say he wants to be the Sandik. Is he able to be the Sandik or not? And he'll say, I'll point the Moel, another Moel to be the Shliach, and I'll be the Sandik. Is that considered allowed? So part of the conversation is that a Sandik, based on a Ma'aril and based on the Chassam Sofer, the Sandik is a very chashuv thing. It's even more chashuv than the Moel himself. That the Ma'aril says that the Sandik should get the Aliyah before the Moel. The Sandik serves as the Mizbeach, and he has to go to the Mikvah. There's a whole process involved in being a Sandik. It's a very chashuv thing. And therefore, the Sandik also is involved in the Milah, because the Sandik is being Mesayeh B'Dover. There's Mamashis to what he's trying to accomplish. In the end of the day, the Chida paskins that the father can choose to be the Sandik and appoint another Mila, and would not be a violation in doing so. And part of that, again, part of the calculation is because being Misayeh Bedavar Yesh Ramamish, which seems to go against everything we've been saying here. But this is just a very superficial discussion right now in the Gemara here. But the Gemara seems to prove from around six different locations that Misayeh ain't Ramamish. But we do have our areas where they do creep in. Like I mentioned before, the Ran says that the Isha is involved in Puravu, that she's Misayeh Bedavar, and therefore she has some involvement, and there's some nafkaminas to that. And here as well, that the Sandik is Misayeh Bemila, and there's some nafkaminas to that as well. The Gemara now says, we are around 15 lines down on Tzadi Gimel Mebeza, the two dots. The Gemara says, Amar Mar. We said above, that Zeh Yachal v'Zeh Yachal, each one is able to do Melacha on their own, but they do it together. In other words, it's a classic case of Shnayim She'asu. So although we had said Pater, Rabbi Meir Omer, he holds Rabbi Meir's Chayv. So when Rabbi Meir says, Yom Chayv, Ibailu. Now, Reuven and Shimon both could, let's say, lift the object on their own. But they lift it together, they're carrying the table together in Rishus Rabim, they're both Chayv. So in the Shita Rabbi Meir, the Gemara wants to know, Ibailu, Be'inan Shila Zeh, V'Shila Zeh, do you have to have each one carrying a shear of their own right? Let's say, Rashi says, if it's for Achila, a Kigo Geras, each one has to be two gross, that since each one are doing a ma'isa, they have to have a shear that's able to be split up for each party. Oh, Dilma, perhaps shear echalakum is enough to have grogeres together. Only one grogeres would be sufficient to go in all of them. How do you understand the question? So the Rebbe Chanan explains the question as follows: when we say zayachal zayachal, they do it together and they're both chayv, are we saying that it's as if they did each one did the entire ma'isa? If they did each the entire ma'isa, meaning they both did an entire ma'isa, so it's sufficient to simply have one shear for all of them. But if we're saying that each one only did half the ma'isa, so then we're splitting up the ma'isa into two people, so then you have to have a shear split up to two people as well. That's the understanding of this hakira explained to Rav Achan. So the Gemara says, this is of course going to be machlokas amarim. Rav Chista, Rav Hamnuna, chad amar shir lezeh, v'shir lezeh. One says you need to have enough shear for each one, meaning you need double the shear typically, so that each one has their own shear to work with. And chad amar, the other says, shear echad l'kulam, it's enough to have one shear in total for both them to share. So Amra Papa, Papa says, Mishmei de Rava. We're also going to bring a series of proofs for this as well, that he brings Af Anonami Tanita. We also learn in the Mishnah, Hayoyu Yoshiv al Gabe Mita, guy sitting on a bed, the Arba Talesos Tachas Arba Ragle Mita, and the four Talesos underneath each of the legs. Tameos all four Tame Mipnesh and Yichalo Lamod al Shalosh, because since the bed could not stand up and hold the Zav with just three legs, all four are essential, therefore they're all Tame. Vamai asks the Gemara, why is this the case? Libai Shili Zivala Zev, Shili Zivala Zev. Why don't we say that you need a separate shear for Ziva for this one, and a separate shear of Ziva for that one? In other words, Rashi explains here, shear Ziva, shiachbed rubo alav, the tzachlios kan dalet zavim. Each talus, each leg, should have the only way it'll be tame if it's able to take on the weight of four people. I mean, one person, if it's split amongst four different legs, they're only each holding a quarter of a person. You need a row of a zav to be metame through sitting on top. Not a quarter, so maybe you'd have to have four zavim to make this tame. But here the Mishnah clearly says, even if one zav is there, he's able to split his weight to the four legs, so it must therefore be that we see that it's enough to have one shear for all of them together. I mean, even though each chalice is supporting only a quarter of the weight, they're all been meseya together, still we view that as one whole ma'isa, and one shear is enough to spread out and to be mechayv, or in this case, metame, all four talesos. The Gemara says further now, Amar of Nachman bar Yitzchak af ananami tanina, we also learn in the Mishnah, Tzvi shenichnas lebeis bayis v'nal echa b'fanav chai. If a deer runs into the house and a guy ends up sitting by the doorway, not allowing the deer to leave, so he's chayv tzad. Let's say two people block the entranceway or the exit, p'tur, and then they're p'tur, because shnai v'shasu. Lel yachal echad linol v'nal, let's say one guy wouldn't be able to lock closed on his own. It's a very wide door. So one guy couldn't on his own. The first case was where it's a very narrow doorway. One guy could have blocked it, but they ended up having two guys to block it to their putter. But let's say it's a very wide entrance where one guy couldn't do this on his own. Lo yachol echa lino. V'nalu shayim. And two guys go to sit down together to block it because they need each other. They're both chayavim. V'amai, why is that the case? Libai shilu tzida lezeh v'shir tzida lezeh. Shouldn't there be two deer? Because if each one are participating, so you have to have a shear for Reuven and a shear for Shimon, which means you need to have two deer inside. So it must be, that when two people do something together, even though they're chayiv together, you only need one shear for the entire ma'isa. So Amar Avinu, Avinu says further, yet another raya, af ananami tanina, we also learn a Mishnah. There's a Mishnah that appears in Maseches Baba Kama. It says that Hashutvin sheganvu, partners who steal, v'tavchu, and they shecht it, so it's tvicha mechira, it's a case of dal v'hei, they're chayiv four or five times their sale. What they stole, v'amai, so they're chayiv, v'amai, why is that the case? Why are they chayiv in partners? Li'boi shir tvicha l'zeh, v'shir tvicha l'zeh. Don't you require that each one has to have its own separate shir? Must be, la mishim damrinan, shir echad l'kulam. No, because we say it's enough to have just one shir for both shutvin and val. And a final raya, is Amar Rav Ashi Avon Af Ananami Tanina. We also learn in the Mishnah Shai Misho Tziu Kana Shagarde. They two people take out together some type of reed that was used for weaving of some sort. So they're chayavim. So why they chayav? V'amai libay shir hotzal zev shir hotzal zev. So is it? Why don't we have to say it should be a big enough shir where it's enough? It should be shnei kanim, two kanim, where each one has a shir on its own right. So it must be elav mishum daminan shir echal kulam. Must be because you say one shir is enough for both parties together. So here the Gemara finally challenges this and says, wait a second. Amalei Rav Acha b'Reidi Rav LeRav Ashi Dilma Dispei Kedei Lashal Beita Kala Lazeh Beita Kala Lazeh. Maybe this kana does have a double shear. Maybe the kana has the ability. If you split it in half, each one has its ability to cook an egg, which is doesn't take much to cook an egg. And maybe there are two shear here to speak of. The Gemara says back, Kempi Imkain. If this is talking about a kana that had the shear to mevashal two beitim kalos, Imkain Lishmainan kana de alma. Should just mention stama kana. Why is it dafka say a kana of a weaving? It must be because this unique case where there's only one shear, the purpose of what's trying to accomplish, it's only one shear for both people, and yet you're still chayv. Mar says dilma dispe kedei la'arg mapa lezev kedei la'arg mapa lezev. Maybe the kana that we're talking about, it has a sufficient amount of usage to make two different cloths, and therefore it does have double shear. This last Misha, you're right, you can't bring a raya from this last Misha, but the previous three rayas we brought were strong enough rayas. And the Gemara concludes, we'll stop right before this Misha, because the Misha goes into the next naf, so we'll stop here, that the Gemara says, Tani, Tani, Kami, the Rav Nachman, they taught a brayas in front of Rav Nachman, that Shnaim, Sheol, Tziu, Kana, Sheol, Garde, Pturim. And Rabbi Shimon says, Yirma Chayiv, Klapi Laya, could this really be the case, that Rabbi Shimon says Chayiv, and the Tani Kami says Pater? The Gemara says, no, switch around and says, so everyone's consistent, Ela Ema, Chayavim, according to the Tana Kama, they're going to be Chayav, but Rabbi Shimon, who's the one who says, Pater. So we will stop here, and Mitzvah Shem, we'll continue tomorrow on this next mission, going on to Daf Tadi Dalet. Everyone have a wonderful day.